Praise God. Unraveling the mind. That's what we are discussing in this church at the present time. That is what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. That is the work he's doing in us. It's very, very important when God's people who are filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit are hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. And what is the Spirit saying to the church, to this assembly? Well, it's an unraveling of the mind. It's a healing of the mind. It's delivering the mind. And I was listening again this morning to that prophecy and the leading of the Spirit. And God was telling us not to go to man's tools, those old tools that we once used to have, those tools of unbelief, those tools to try and do a fake job, just to budge up, just to patch up work, but the tools that God has given to us does the whole job and does it once and for all, complete, finished. They're the tools that God's given to us, the whole armour of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's teaching is come to deliver, to heal and to set us free. That's what it's all about. But it takes an unravelling of the mind. We are finding that we are faced in situations every day where we can make a choice, where we can decide whether we're going to have the mind of Christ in this or whether we're going to still take on that old carnal mind, that unbelief, that vexation of spirit. And your trials can let you decide what you want to come into operation. It is called the will. You have a free will. And God does not, as we know, force that will. But he is aware that the nature of demons are to influence and to control the will. That is why we don't believe in this assembly in total possession. Because if you are totally possessed, you need those demons cast out in order for the Holy Spirit to change you, renew you, the new birth. But we have shown you and told you over the years that there are still doors that are open. And those doors that are open are trying to hinder your will, influence the will. And all the while those doors are open and you want them to be open, you will never do the will of God fully. You will never fully surrender. There will always be those areas that still condemn, that try to bring you under the law, under bondage. But as we find our hearts are being affected by the word, as we come regularly, week after week, we have a prayer life, we walk daily with God, we're going to find that the Holy Spirit will show that he will work with that will where we're hindered, where we don't still want to yield, to bow that knee before God. Philippians tells us that God will work in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. But you are going to have to come to a realization that it is a surrendering over of the will. It is even a desire to surrender the will over where you don't want to will the will of God. And that is where honesty comes in. That is where humility. That is where you come clean before God. You have to surrender all. You have to be honest with God that there are still some areas that you are finding difficult to give over, in which the cross must do its work, that death. That death to the self-life, there is going to be no stone unturned the time God finishes with you and I. It will be a total surrender, that absence of resistance. There will be no resisting, but a yielding day by day as God requires of us, or as he works with us, where we find that still the self, the flesh wants to rise up, we're going to find that there will be an anointing there there will be grace there in which you can yield. Your faith will believe that you can in that trial yield to the perfect will of God. That is why we overcome by faith. That is why we walk by faith. Your faith can embrace every area of deliverance in your life. Anything that God is honing into and will hone even into this morning, the faith is there to be delivered. As God wouldn't reveal it. As it wouldn't be the right time. Remember that we can do no more than the light that is revealed to us, even today, what is going to be shown. And whatever light that is honed into your life, whatever light that suddenly comes on, God has provided and said the faith is there to believe. Then we have to find that God's then got to start working with the will, that desire to bow that knee and surrender over to the will of God. So it's an unraveling of the mind. For as we know so clearly, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. If you are sitting this morning and thinking resentment, anger, you are that. And God has got to deliver you in your mind and heart. He's got to show you that it is that forgiving, that surrendering over, or whatever the trial we may be going through. We began last week, didn't we, to open up some areas of where the Lord has shown me, where he's working in this body, with members, with individuals, families, where he's working in order that we have a different mind, a different thinking, that we get that deliverance, that healing. And we showed some of these areas, and some of you came up afterwards and you shared with me how God had revealed how he's going to start to do that work, that change, that healing, that deliverance. But we find sometimes, taking this a step further, where you just find at the end of the day sometimes, I just don't seem to have the faith. And I think we have all said that, or we have all felt that. I just don't seem to have that faith. I don't seem to have that mustard seed of faith for that particular area or what I'm believing for. It just seems it's a mountain that seems impossible to move. Well, you're going to find sometimes that if it seems as though you don't have that faith, you're going to find that maybe all you're down to, all you're left to at the end of the day, is whatever you feel, whatever seems to go on in you, you still have your confession. Confessing and believing go hand in hand, and I've given that one for years. Because if fear, anxiety, sickness, defeat, all those things that at times we can battle with, it is so because we still believe in them. Sickness is because you still believe in it. You still believe, after all that God is saying, what he says in his word, you still believe that you can still fall victim to those flus, colds, and various other things. It's because we still believe that it can affect us. We're not still believing yet in the atonement, Psalm 91, all the other promises where no sickness will come nigh thy dwelling. We still don't yet believe this. And so as a result, we waver and we still believe the powers of darkness report, or that anxiety. Every time there's a trial or something happens or bad news, that anxiety takes over. Why does it take over? Because you still believe in it. It is still real in your mind. And God says, I've got to unravel that. I've got to deal with that. Because that anxiety is still worried about tomorrow, what tomorrow's going to bring, whether there's going to be food on the table, whether I can pay those bills at the end of the month, that anxiety is still there. And you know it's there because you confess it. It comes out. You are believing it, therefore you are living it. So you're not free yet. The door is not closed. There is still a spirit influence still controlling in that area. And God says, we have to close that door. We have to close that door. Or you suffer with just that apathy, that defeat, that sort of feeling, well, if I believe God or I stand on my healing or confess my bills are paid before the assembly, it won't work for me. That's what the devil's telling you. So you believe that defeat. And that's why you can't say anything. That is why you're silent. That is why you can't ask the body to stand with you in faith or believe or whatever it is. Because you still believe Satan's report, that defeat. It won't work. Because it didn't work last time. So you're bound in your confession. You can't really confess it. You can't line your confession up with God's word, which we're told to do. That's why we read the word of God. That's why we give you sermons. That's why faith comes by hearing, reading, hearing the word of God. So that your confession lines up with what God has said. For God is not a liar. For all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Of course, if you don't believe God's word, well then don't confess it, because otherwise you're a liar. And you know where liars are going to go. So, we find Satan can hold in these areas because one believes in them. And what is the sign? What is the sign of this, that you are believing in these things? It's quite simple. Your mind dwells on them. What has your mind been dwelling on over this week? What are those thoughts that still keep coming up each day? You can soon discern your thought patterns. It doesn't take long when the enemy's still got a foot in there. The mind often dwells on these things. And that's why you see we've labored for years and years about the mind. And of course, as it says in Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you think in your heart is what you are. And if you are thinking defeat, then you are defeated. You're defeated by your circumstances. If you're thinking sickness, you are going to take on that sickness. You know, often before one is made whole, God has got to make the mind whole first. Because there's no sickness, disease, bondage, sin, having the mind of Christ. But having the mind of Christ shows that it's a process. It's a work. It is a work of deliverance, isn't it? And you see, your mind can only give back what you put into it. So whatever you put into your mind is what you'll get out of it. And that's why we encourage you, keep with God, keep in prayer, keep communing, talking with Him, just as we heard this morning. Whatever your situations, whatever you're going through, whatever you feel, keep talking to God. Why? Because your mind can only give back what you put into it. So what are you going to put into your mind? Put in that which God has given through the Holy Spirit. Jesus. I have the mind of Jesus. I feel lousy today. I feel as though the flu is coming on. I have the mind of Jesus. Sickness doesn't belong to me. That is Satan working in the mind. We've told you over and over again that your mind is a garden. A spiritual garden, that is. And any good gardener is always battling and keeping the weeds out. That's what a good gardener is. A bad gardener is one that ignores the weeds. And we've got a lot of gardening today where they try and plant shrubs, and so shrubs cover up those weeds. It's what you hear today with many gardeners today. There's no shortcuts to it. You've only got to lift them back and you'll see all the weeds, everything entangling. But a good gardener weeds. A good Christian keeps those weeds out of his or her mind. And that is what the Holy Spirit is challenging us. And that's why we saturate our mind with God's word. And this has got to be regular. You see, every thought is a seed. Every thought, everything you think and you think upon is a seed that can either be sown or thrown away. And you've got the choice. And so those thoughts, when you start to go over to their resentment or unforgiveness, it starts as a thought. And you dwell on that and hold it, the seed is planted. It's planted. It's there. The enemy's got in. That is why we have to deal with these thoughts. You see, a bad thought is going to take root. And that is why God is unraveling the mind, because he's uprooting it in your life. But once he's uprooted, delivered, closed the door to those areas in our life, the enemy's going to come back and try and get some more rooting back in there. And he will start it with a thought. And you'll start to think again on those thoughts where God has closed the door, he's delivered you, and he'll start to suggest them back. And all he's doing, he's going to start to root back in that, to reopen that door again. That is why Jesus said so many times to those that got healed and delivered, go away and sin no more. That's what he meant. That's what he was saying. Get free from it and stay free. Walk close with me. So you see, any bad thought, uproot it immediately. If you're starting to become resentful, uproot it immediately. Speak to it. This goes now in the name of Jesus, because I have the mind of Christ. Be gone. I'm not entertaining it. You see, those thoughts can be so logical. Those thoughts can so appeal to the carnal, to the intellectual mind. Can sound so plausible. Can even sound so right, justifiable. But they're not before God. They certainly are not before having the mind of Christ. We showed last time in Philippians where Jesus, Philippians 2, he divested himself, he emptied himself, he took upon the role of a servant, a slave. And Paul went on to the Philippians to say, let this mind be in you also. Notice he, out of all commissions, if you like, it is to be a servant, and that is the least of all in one's daily work, to be a servant, a slave, is a nobody. And we've told you what a slave, a servant is and was, and in those days, was nobody. Wasn't expected to be anything or anyone. Never would be. Often not even recognized, certainly not thanked. Clear up after other people, have no rights. That is the role Jesus took on. And he says that is what we take on as well. And so we've got to allow the Holy Spirit, haven't we, full control over the mind. If he has full control over the mind, he has full control over your body and your circumstances. As it says in Romans 12 verse 2, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what the work of the Holy Spirit is doing. He says, be transformed, changed, by the renewing of your mind, that ongoing process, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So see, by having the mind renewed, changed, you can prove, you can test, you can discern, you can hear what the will of God is for you. Now I trust we're in that place that we're hearing this morning what the will of God is for us. What is the will of God? To have the mind of Christ and let him unravel those minds. Now that doesn't take a lot of discernment, does it? But it can be a problem to those who resist. If I preach this message to a lot of people out in the world, they will rebel against it. Who does he think he is? See? Because they don't know what the will of God is. You see, they've never submitted themselves on the altar of God, which verse 1 tells us to do, you see. That's why you can't make any shortcuts in this. Discipleship is the key every time. That discipleship. And so, if you want today, you can settle it and you can let God work with you where he'll saturate your mind with his word and all those promises. I don't know about you, but I want my mind saturated with the word of God. I want it so saturated, there's no room for anything else. Amen? Can God do it? Yes, he can. As he takes hold of your life. And my life. Because friends, that is how we're going to overcome all things. As it says in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. There you go. Think on these things. Hear a negative report, think the positive. Hear lies about your brother and sister, believe the best. Don't dwell on it. Because that's poison behind that. You start listening to those gossips and lies about each one of us, and Satan's getting right in to do what? Divide the body of Christ. Knows how to do it, doesn't he? Oh, there could be some truth in it. But praise God, if there is truth in it, we know what to do. We pray one for another. And we believe the best. We have to be on our guard against all these things. Because the enemy's out to slander. And he's going to use the tongue. He's going to use lying demons. And we're going to be slandered more and more as a body as we go on. And lies will be propagated. And sadly it will come out sometimes through those we least expect. I'm ready for anything in these last days. That's how Satan is working. And so you hear it. You dismiss it in Jesus' name. I don't entertain that. The mind of Christ cannot receive that in Jesus' name. Because believe me, the enemy is very, very subtle. He is a liar and he is a thief. He's the father of lies. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. That's his tragedy. Let's look at some scriptures now just to saturate our minds. Matthew 21 verse 22. Matthew 21 verse 22. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you could receive. You will receive. I'm glad some didn't receive that. Now, there you go. It says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believe. Simply believe, and God says you will receive. He doesn't tell you when you will receive. He just says you will receive. Let's go back a bit. I just want your minds to be saturated with the Word of God this morning. Matthew 6, verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19 onwards. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he says, see, where your heart is, that is where your confession, your belief is going to be. You see? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if your heart is still in this world and depending on the world and trusting in the arm of the flesh, that is where your affections are going to be. That's what you're going to talk about, you see. That's what you're going to think upon. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God's dealing there, Jesus is dealing there, as he's teaching about anxiety, fear, all those things that he knows too well that people, families will worry about. Why? Because the devil will get your mind to dwell and think on these things. Psalm 37, verse 19. Psalm 37 and verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. So you will not be ashamed. Whatever they say, whatever's going on, and you will be fed in the time of famine. And not only with the physical, but with the spiritual. Because believe me, we're living in an age of famine. A famine of hearing the word of God. We live in depraved times. We really, really do. But that is what God has promised, hasn't he? And so, you know, we can let our minds and hearts be saturated with God's word. Let's turn back to Philippians again. And in Philippians verse 4 and verse 19, he said here, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So does your Bible say he might supply some of your needs? Just a few of them? No. He says all. A-double-L. And so because he does that, he says, don't even give thought. No anxiety, no fear, no dwelling on these things. Where is it going to come? And if you're still dwelling on these things, your mind's still going over what's going to happen to us in 6 months, where are we going to be, what are we going to do, God has still got to close areas in your mind. Deliverance is still needed. You're still dwelling, because as you think on these things, so you are. You see? James, the book of James. We're just looking at some of these promises. I trust that we're not too forward and mature in this assembly that we can go back over the promises of God. I hope we're not. We all still have need of the milk at times. James 5, 14. James chapter 5 and verse 14. What does it say here? 14 says, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you, all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Sorry, I've looked at the wrong one. I'm looking at Peter. It sounds rather good, actually. There's peace there. Sorry. James 5, 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So there we are. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There we are. Promises again. Raising us up. Healing us. Delivering us. But you have to do it in the way God shows. Sometimes it can be sin that is holding a person in sickness and whatever. Again, has to be dealt with. And that is why God is closing our minds, dealing with our minds, because sometimes with our mind, well, very often, if their door is open, that's sin attached to it. And that's why at times healing can't always take place. Blessing can't always take place because sin is attached to it. So can you see what the Holy Spirit is actually doing? If we get this right, we're going to start to see tremendous physical changes taking place, as well as spiritual. This is what's coming out of this, and one that we don't very often read, but 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So who says they don't believe in prosperity? That is what is said there. Pray, that's what they're praying. Prayers going out for the saints, that you may prosper in all things. Do you pray that for your brother and sister? Lord, I pray for my brother, for my sister, that they may prosper in all things that you bless them with. And that they may be in health, not only in their body, but in their soul and spirit, in Jesus' name. What a prayer. Because that's lining up with God's word. That's what we should pray for one another. Because you are agreeing with the word of God. Because that is Jesus' promise. All these promises that we're reading out to you were given to Jesus by the Father. He's a joint heir with the Father. The Father said, whatever you ask, I'll bless you. And he says, I want promises. They're yours. And I'm going to make those promises known to my elect, those that I call. Make them known. I'm not holding back. So these promises that we're reading out to you now were given to Jesus. And Jesus says, I will share these with you. That the Father has given, revealed. And he's doing that this morning. But in order to fully share this, for you to inherit this, the Lord says, first, I've got to deal with your mind. Deliver it. Because you still don't believe yet. And that is what he's doing. It's a total acceptance of the Word of God. That is what he's expecting of us. It's not questioning it. It's not breaking it up or changing it. It is a complete childlike acceptance of this word. And when you start to get that one, you're going to start then to believe in Romans 8:28. And we all know what that one is there. You're not even going to question, because as it says here, and I know that all things in my life work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Whatever I'm going through, whatever I hear, whatever I'm experiencing, whatever I feel, whatever the circumstances, whatever. Romans 8:28. Now when you're experiencing that, when the reality of that is coming in your life, we're pretty near. Pretty near. Believe me. Hear bad news? Praise God. This is awful. But this is Romans 8:28, Lord. You wouldn't let me hear this unless you have a purpose and a reason. I've had to say that. And I say it with joy. Because it's working out together for good. Christianity, let me tell you, your faith is confession from beginning to end. It is. It is all about a confession. And it is a confession from beginning to end. And if you have a problem with that, then you've got to get that right before God. Because that is the basis of salvation, on confession. And here it is. Let's read some scriptures that we know so, so well. Proverbs 18:21, which says, Proverbs 18, what is it now? Hallelujah. No, I've written it down wrong. I'm sorry about this. But I have quite a few that I want to give you. But we know that Proverbs certainly is speaking of what you confess in your heart is what you are. For example, in Romans 10:10. Sorry?
Death and life.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That was the one. Thank you.
It is 18:20.
Yes. Oh, it is. Sorry. Yes. Praise God. I was probably looking at Proverbs 22. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. There you go. Confession. So you can confess today life or death. It's entirely up to you. What law you want in operation. And if you confess something that's negative, then you can take it back and ask God for forgiveness. See, there's hope. That's grace and mercy that is attached with this. Romans 10:10 also says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's about confession. If it's in the heart, you confess. Verse 23. Sorry, I got that wrong. I mean, I was looking at the wrong one here. Romans 10:10. Sorry, Hebrews 10 now. Hebrews 10. Again, we know these so, so well. Hebrews 10:23, which says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So there you are. You can hold on to confession simply because he says he's faithful. Take it up to verse 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So he knows that working this confession in us takes a while, but what you're confessing, that belief in your heart, God says, stay with it, and in a time, you will receive. So he knows you're not going to get this overnight, because this unraveling, this healing of the mind, is a process. It takes time. And God's grace is there sufficient in which to provide for this. And that's why, you know, I make much about the grace and mercy of God, because with all these things that God reveals to us, if mercy and grace was not attached to it, none of us would survive, I can tell you. As it says in Proverbs 6 verse 2, you are snared with the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, can cause a snare. And we know what a snare is. It means a trap, to be held. So you are held by bad confessions. And those confessions have got to change in order to get set free from that snare. Satan snared you, he's trapped you. You see, friends, your condition, the way you are, the way you live, your state will always parallel your confession. You're never going to get above your confession. Whatever state or whatever you are concerned about or what you hate or what you know is not right in your life or family, you're not going to get above that until your confession, your faith, changes. And that's the word of God. That's a challenge, isn't it? Eh? It is. You experience what you think and confess. If you're thinking fear, that is going to be your experience in your life. But if you're thinking faith, you're confessing the promises of God, then that is going to start to be your experience. And that is why we have to experience this walk. See, in this body, God won't let us just sit back and take notes and just be theological. No way. We have to live this. Why? Because that is our experience. We have to experience Jesus bringing us through the fires. We have to experience Jesus raising us up from our sickness. We have to experience Jesus paying those bills when there's no money left in the bank. We have to experience Jesus in all the promises that he's made. The salvation for our loved ones. The restoration of family life or rebellious son that's gone off. We have to experience Jesus in that. That's what this whole walk is about. Little wonder Satan's attacking the mind like he is. Because he fears this. But if we confess and agree with God's word, and we set our mind and heart on it, you're well on your way to delivery. Believe me, just set your heart and mind upon these things, upon God's word. And you're getting messages now. God's giving week after week these sermons. You can take them away, listen to them, digest them, eat them, whatever it is. Just keep them in the background. Keep the word there. Open up that word and read these promises. Write these promises down if you don't know them. Just get a load of promises and write them down on a paper. And just when you're going through a trial, right, I'm going to look at this one. The devil's trying to work fear with me. There's no fear in the perfect love of God. Or whatever it would be. It's there. And I can tell you, within 2 minutes, you got the victory. Even quicker than that sometimes. Because it's a thought. He's working it in the thought realm. You see? Now, this isn't impossible. As I've said, there's only one who can tame the brain of man. And it's God. Because it's an organ that can't be tamed otherwise. You try and switch your brain off. You try and switch your mind off. You can't do it. It's active all the time. It's even active when you're asleep. So there's only one who can deal with the brain, and it's God who created it. And he created your brain, my brain, for his glory. For him. That we may encompass him. That we may learn about him. Only in this life, of course. You won't need a brain in glory, because all the learning up there will be ever spiritual, another dimension. It'll be God's wisdom. But at the moment, we need God's wisdom from above. We don't want the wisdom of this world, and that is what God is delivering us from. You've been brought up and educated with man's wisdom, but God's unraveling all of that now. He's setting us free, that you may have the wisdom, the mind of God, His leading. That is why, friends, we can do nothing unless it is revealed. God is going to bring you and I to a place where we can say nothing and do nothing unless God reveals it. You're going to be so helpless in the natural realm. That is why we look like sheep to the slaughter. Jesus looked ridiculous, helpless, lost, a laugh, a joke in the flesh. But in the spirit, it was dynamite. And the spirit will triumph over the flesh. And that is why the world is rapidly moving into its final judgment. Because the spiritual must take over the physical. Amen.
Amen.
You are of above, my friends. You are of another world, another kingdom, another time. Your citizenship is in heaven. It's not with this world. And this world and us is like fire and water, and they don't mix. They don't mix. Father, thank you this morning. Lord, we are so aware that this word is so powerful. It burns into our hearts. It's burning out the dross. It's changing us in our seats. It's causing us to seek you in prayer, to go into our closets. Lord, you are going to bring us to that place where we have that mind, the mind of Christ. And we're not going to entertain any other thoughts, unwholesome thoughts, ungodly thoughts. You're going to bring us to a place where we're diligent, that whenever Satan tries to knock at the door, we know by faith exactly what to do. We're going to be so jealous. We're going to have such a guarding over our minds. Because as we're being delivered, what you're bringing us from, how Satan once held us, bound us in the mind, we're going to guard this mind of Christ. We're going to rejoice in its experience, what you are working and doing, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you for these messages over the last few weeks. I thank you for the blessings, the testimonies, the healings that will come as a result of these teachings, because it is setting the body of Christ free for the glory of God. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be ever with us, bless us, preserve us, keep us, and that your peace will ever remain upon us this day and always. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thy presence, I'll be. creation.
But God has so impressed me this morning through these teachings, and particularly this last one. He has done quite a deliverance through this. And the word of the Lord is, go and glorify God in that renewed mind that you have, where He's closing those doors. Glorify Him, because I believe we're going to hear some testimonies through these teachings that we've had. And don't be frightened to hold back with what God has done, because the Lord did reveal to me Satan didn't like this teaching at all. Made that very clear. And that's always a very good giveaway. But God's grace, mercy, accompanying this word over the few weeks, has brought about some deliverances, changing, doors closing for that very purpose, to glorify His name. Hallelujah. Praise God. May the Lord bless you.